You're listening to Voices After Dark with Gina, Shanae, and Lisa. Enjoy.
I gotta stop drinking these now.
You can't stop licking it.
Yeah, it's totally good.
Mm-hmm.
Need a gift. Like, Gina made us some Truly's with chamoy on it.
Yes.
Oh, it's so good.
A flavored chamoy, and it's super thick and it's delicious.
I think I've ever licked a can so much.
I know, right?
God, like trying to get in every crease.
It's so good, though.
I know what that is.
We have watermelon chamoy. I'll lick it anyway.
I know what that is.
I'll lick it anyway.
I love that movie. No, those are so freaking good.
Zero.
Ooh.
ASMR.
It's like what? What's today? Today? Should you tell them the date?
No. Who cares? It's sometime in January.
I know. It's like they know.
What do you mean?
Well, they know. Well, they know we haven't recorded all freaking January, practically.
Yeah. We could re-record an intro.
Ooh, you want to do an intro? A new one?
I don't know. I like the one we have.
Oh, you just don't want to do it.
I know.
That's all it is. She just doesn't want to do it.
Well, we need to come with like a... So what's up, everybody?
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Sure, no. Whatever. I'm just saying.
That's so good.
We're not going to... You're going to have to not drink during this podcast.
No, I could just do ASMR. We're going to call this episode...
Drinking...
ASMR and drinking Truly's with flavored chamoy. Yum.
These are the bomb. I literally almost ate all that. Well, licked it.
Yeah, you know, I'm just going to tell my stories.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah.
We're all over the place. It's so good.
Okay, anyways.
If we have listeners, they know us, so...
Mm-hmm.
They're okay. Go with your story,
really?
Gina.
You guys want me to keep all this in? I don't know. I'll have to see. Okay, anywho. Okay. So I have two stories. Mm-hmm. And there's just one little detail that is similar in both stories.
Oh, that what you left out last time?
Yes. So, yes. I already told this story to these two motherfuckers.
About seven times.
Oh, I only said it one time. And my phone died and didn't record. Or the mics wasn't plugged in or something like that. I don't know.
Some shit happened.
So I will actually be hearing it again if I pay attention.
Yeah, if she pays attention.
You're saying you didn't pay attention last time?
It's an old story. It was in 1932. May 4th, so there was a lady, her name was Lily Linderstorm, she lived like in the old school brothels, so she was a prostitute.
Okay.
And she was divorced, so she was, you know, she was a sex worker. She had a neighbor downstairs that she was friendly with. She had seen her neighbor and asked for a condom. She's living in like that kind of house, you know.
She's like, you got a condom?
Yeah.
Just asked her neighbors.
She's like, yeah, here you go, girl.
Damn. This was in the 30s.
Yeah, 1932. On May 4th. Mm-hmm. This is when actually the girl was found. But, so that neighbor downstairs that she got those condoms from.
Condoms.
Safe sex. No. She noticed that she hasn't seen her for a couple days, you know. So, they went upstairs to her apartment. And she was laying on the bed.
Wow.
Naked. She was bludgeoned to death. She had signs of sexual activity right before. Her skull was just crushed in so bad, they couldn't even It was so bad. She had a couple teeth missing. She actually, how they knew there were signs of sexual activity was because there was a condom in her butt.
Yes.
Still there.
Yes, I do remember this.
Yes. And then the creepy part, Lisa, you'll like. No.
I remember.
All the blood. Yep. All her blood was drained. And there was those gravy ladle spoons that had blood stains on it. And her blood was completely drained, almost completely drained. It looked like somebody drank the blood like a vampire. It actually got the name Atlas Vampire because this actually happened in Sweden, in Stockholm, Sweden, I guess. And the area that she lived in, where that brothel and stuff, they called that kind of area like Atlas area, I guess. And so they named it the Atlas Vampire. And that guy, whoever that was, they were never identified.
What?
They even questioned a few of her regular customers. Their alibi supposedly checked out. But, I mean, it was the 1930s, so they didn't really have much else to go on besides what they say. Mm-hmm. You know?
So much evidence is left.
Yep, and so much DNA all over the place. Everything like that.
The condom inside
it. Yes. Yeah, and it was the 1930s, so all that DNA, they couldn't tell. Nothing.
Jesus.
She had, saliva, supposedly, around her neck. It was never solved. And they called it the Atlas Vampire.
How could you see saliva in 1932?
I don't know. Yeah, they knew it was saliva, but they couldn't tell.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah, but there was a ladle used to drink the blood, and all her blood was gone, and her face was so smashed in.
Did they say if there was any, puncture wounds?
No, they didn't see anything of that. That's what I was trying to find, too, but I did not see that.
Beaten so bad.
And her skull was completely, crushed. There's a blunt force just repeatedly trauma to the head.
Wow. And there was no blood anywhere, right?
Yeah, they said her blood was completely drained.
I'm sure there was blood around from just
splatter, but her body on the inside.
They drain. I wonder if they
They even have some musician in 2007, kind of did a song about her. His name was Eric Melberg, released an instrumental. And it was called Hamid Organs Aoi or something. And that translates in memory of Lily Lindestorm, because that was her name.
Wow.
Yeah, that's super crazy.
That was weird.
And, So that was just my little short one, because you know me, I only like little short ones. And I'm going to tell you the detail that is crazy about these two at the end after I tell you this other story.
Vampires.
Vampires. Lisa loves vampires.
Obsessed.
What's those brothers' name?
Vampire Diaries.
Salvatore Brothers.
Salvatore.
Yum and yummier.
I don't know who they are.
She has no idea.
I don't.
She hate it.
Mm-hmm.
And this other story, this is called Lady of the Dunes.
The Dunes.
Yeah. This lady, she was found on July 26th, because we already know it's not going to be a good one, in 1974 near Provincetown, Massachusetts. And she was laying face down on a beach towel. Her hands were missing and replaced with piles of pine needles. Some of her teeth were removed. One of her little forearms was removed also and was replaced with the pine needles too. Her head was beaten also so bad. It was crushed and was nearly severed from her body. They think it was some kind of military entrenching tool. And I actually didn't even look to see what that was. But I'll post a picture of what kind of tool they thought it was.
a torture tool?
Yeah. Ugh. They think the police think she was found, or she was already had passed away, was killed weeks before she was found, because her body wasn't in too much a good state. Nobody knew who she was. She was the Lady of the Dunes in 1974.
So 40 years later?
Yeah, they, you know, everybody was just like, who was she? Why was she slain so badly? They did, like, searches surrounding the dunes areas that she was found. They went through, like, the missing person files. Just to see if, you know, if anybody, it kind of matched. They did find tire tracks near the scene, but they didn't find, they couldn't go any further with that. they think she was between 20 to 49 years old.
Well, she's a Jane Doe?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's so crazy. She had a, like, dental work done because she had, like, expensive crowns and on her teeth. And I guess the police called it, like, the New York style. So they, like, called dentists, too, to see if, you know, they worked on any girls' teeth or anything. And same, nothing. Her head was, her head was almost decapitated, too.
From somebody beating her?
Yeah. Her face was beaten too, and like really bad. Her body has been like exhumed a few times because they kept trying to get like facial reconstruction on her. Jeez. And in 1979, so that was like 5 years after they found her, they tried to do it. It was exhumed again in 1980 and 2000. For DNA testing. In 2010, her skull had been reconstructed.
Yeah.
With the rest of her body. It was put through like a CT scan and tried to produce like more accurate face structures and like just her in general.
Get a composite?
Yeah.
Do they have an age on what they think that she
was? Yeah, between 20 to 49 years old. 20
to 49?
Yeah.
I'm trying to see. So she was an adult female.
Yeah, adult female.
That's pretty it. That's, she's older than 18. That's all they know.
There was a serial killer named Haddon Clark that confessed to the murder in 2004. And he said the evidence was buried in his grandma's garden. But I guess that didn't check out. I guess that guy had, was like paranoid, schizophrenia. and he had like tried to claim he did other murders too, but he didn't. they just kept trying to find, you know, and then who did it? There was even like another, another serial killer. Named Tony Costa that they thought could have did it, but he was convicted in 1970 and he hung himself in May of 1974. So that was, you know, before.
His name rings a bell.
There was like another mobster, notorious mobster named Whitey Bulger, who was known to have like removed some victims' teeth, but no, there's no connection between the two. They just kept ruling out people. They kept going through the missing person cases. Nothing. And it's still cold. Nobody knows who did it, who she is.
I hate cold cases.
I know. It's so crazy. And this is crazy, too. So in 2015, this guy named Joe Hill, he had a theory. And Joe Hill's father is actually Stephen King.
What?
But he has a theory because I guess there's this book out there called Deborah Halber's book, The Skeleton Crew. And it's like how amateurs are like solving America's cold cases, you know. Just like didn't, I think isn't that how they found that one kitty killer on the internet? Just average people like just got together and was
yes
and like found the killer or something on that case.
Yeah,
So that book, I'm assuming, is kind of like, you know, that. So he read that book, so he got his own theory about this story. And then, because supposedly she might be an extra in the movie Jaws.
What?
Yeah. But back then, you know, in the 70s, when you were an extra, they really didn't take much info of you or anything down. Or, no, you know, just like, they're up. Just like, yeah, here, yeah.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
So, he actually, that Joe Hill, watched the movie Jaws. And I guess at exactly 54 minutes and 2 seconds into the film, he noticed something strange. And in the crowd, because I forgot to mention she was found with blue jeans and a white t-shirt and a blue bandana. And there was a girl in there that had similarities to the reconstruction images that they had out there of her. And so, you know, he was like, this whole time she's been seen by millions, but nobody knows who she is. But she may be this extra in this movie in Jaws. I guess there's like this podcast out there too that did this whole thing on Jaws.
What?
Yeah, and they actually mention it on there. This. Damn. Oh, it was mentioned on the Wandery podcast. Inside Jaws, history and makes of the film. And they actually mentioned this in there too, I guess. So, but we never know. But you want to know what connects these two stories together?
Yes, I do.
Jaws.
So, the lady who had her in 1932, her blood drained and swelled with Atlas Vampire.
Okay.
And then this lady that was found in 1974.
Our sisters.
Both of their clothes were folded next to them. Neatly folded next to them. In 1932, who lived at the brothel, her clothes were folded neatly on the chair right next to her. They say, you know, that it is a possibility that she could have did that prior.
Herself, yeah.
Yeah. And then the lady, who's supposedly in the movie Jaws, her neatly folded clothes, her head was actually placed on that.
He could just place it on. She could have done it herself, too.
Yeah, I just after thought that was... Not,
no, before. And
oh, they would have been on there.
Just decided to put them on there.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just thought that was kind of crazy. Because all these neatly folded clothes and these strange things happening. So,
could that have been a vampire? Because you know vampires, they don't really age.
Ooh, yeah.
So if he did a crime back in 1932, he could do a crime in...
1974. Yeah.
But the clothes were folded.
And then that boy, remember?
Mm-hmm.
That boy Joshua, mm-hmm. his clothes were folded in the chimney. Mm-hmm. Well, beside the chimney.
Little boy in the...
The little boy on the mountain. Mm-hmm. Or his clothes were folded they on were. Top of the mountain. The Panama girls. Mm-hmm. Her clothes were folded neatly on the bank.
So we're on the same page. This is vampires, right? I'm doing
it's
this.
Something.
Because you know vampires, they typically feel like they want to... Oh, the ones I know want to kill you and let you like go in peace. So folding your clothes and making you have like a, I don't know, some of
they
these
have
stories,
like a ceremony
so nice, but
yeah,
they tend to like.
And both those girls
respect their prey sometimes.
Faces were bashed.
I know,
in
I'm like, what's up with the
so bad.
Them? Yeah, where they were like unrecognizable.
Didn't we just hear a story about somebody losing an eye and a tongue?
Yeah.
Oh, what's that story? You didn't tell that story.
Yeah. No, that was Shanae's story. She's a good story.
What?
That was yours?
Yeah.
About what?
Were
the hikers.
Oh.
You never recorded that, huh?
I didn't. I can do it now.
I like that story.
We can.
We can.
Yeah. I'll make it quick.
I'll make it quick.
I liked that story. There's a lot of details, though.
Yeah, there is a lot of details.
I was like, what was that one?
No, we could do an episode on that.
Yeah. We can make it
chill out
together.
To together.
So you want her to stop?
No, no, just keep going. Uh-huh.
Yes, we'll roll with it.
No, I like it.
All right.
Yeah, because those
this are is Russia's. Oh, I just had it in my head. Dyatlov Pass incident. Dyatlov. So in 1959, a group of 9 hikers died in the Siberian wilderness under strange circumstances. There is a bunch of theories. Everyone's got their own theory. But we'll discuss those in just a second. So January 23rd, 1959, a group of students and recent grads set off from the university for a hiking trip. And they're all seasoned mountaineers. They all hike before. They, you know,
they're professionals. They got confidence.
Yeah. They wanted to test their limits on a 16-day trip to Wartortan Mountain. And in the language of, like, the indigenous tribe there, the Manzi tribe, Wartortan actually means don't go there. So it's don't go there mountain.
Don't go there mountain.
Don't go there.
Mainly because it would drop
to your surroundings.
Well, it'd be 0 degrees Fahrenheit. It's super cold. They had a 23-year-old leader named Igor. And before they left, they packed up their dorm tents, first aid kits, journals, cameras.
Yeah, everything you'll need for a long hike.
Yeah. One of them even had a mandolin. Do you know what a mandolin is?
It's like,
Because I know.
Google it right now.
Guitar, some.
A guitar?
Is it? I thought it was like something to add math.
Oh, really?
Add math?
No, that's a...
Calculator?
No. What's it called? The old fashioned one.
I have no idea.
What is it, Lisa?
You should have dipped
it's a guitar.
Your
I know.
Red Bull in
I know, I'm an idiot.
Chamoy.
I want a spoon. I want to dip that chamoy. Oh, it's a...
It is. It's like a...
Like a banjo.
Banjo looking thing.
Okay. So anyways.
They were musical people.
So their journey was actually 300 miles away from town. And to even get there, they had to take 2 trains, a bus... and a passenger truck. And a few days into their trip, on the first train, they met a guy named Sasha. Now, Sasha was supposed to be with another group, but apparently the plans didn't, like, fell through. He met up with these guys, heard where they were going, you know, he was going to this mountain. Anyway, and, like, later you'll find out that he was very determined to go on, like, a certain date, certain whatever place. Anyway, Sasha was supposed to be with another
That's
group.
That's weird.
Yes. The plans never went through. So he asked their leader, Igor, if he could tag along. And at first the group was apprehensive. He was kind of strange. He was 37 years old. The rest of the group was in their early 20s. And he was covered in strange tattoos. One was like a long series of letters that nobody could cipher. But he was a hiking instructor and said he had experience with the mountain that they were heading to. So on January 28th, they finally set out from the last settlement to start their journey. And I think it was, what, a 16-day journey?
Yeah, you said it was about 16 days.
So now they're actually finally there. And in their journals, they say that, you know, everything shows everything's going fine. The weather's decent, pretty nice. And they were following the Manzi, the indigenous tribe. They're following their trails. The Manzi tribes. And they're following because there are symbols on trees. And, you know, they're just the indigenous hunters there. So the sun goes down and they're all sleeping in the same tent. It's a 13-foot long triangular canvas. It's held up by ropes on top with a collapsible chimney,
like a wall tent.
You guys know what that looks like. So they cook dinner, they listen to some music, The journal says it was all pretty good. I'm assuming someone was playing that mandolin.
Oh, yeah. Somebody was getting down.
Oh, yeah. But by January 30th, so 2 days later, the weather takes a turn for the worse. Well, it's bad up there. It's already 0 degrees all the time.
Yeah.
And it snows.
So.
Snow and
the
wind.
The third morning of their hike, yeah, of the hike, the temperatures go down. The winds are blowing really hard. It's snowing. And they don't see the Manzi tribe anymore. The trail.
The trees.
Anyway. Sorry.
The signs in the trees.
The forest starts thinning out. There's just a few pine trees that they can see through, like, the wind and snow. And they're too exhausted to keep going against the wind. And so they end up they call it a day. And as they're setting camp, one of the girls, there's only two girls. So one of the two girls in the camp is so tired that she just plops down and by the fire, and she doesn't want to move. She's like, I'm not moving. And the rule was that no one's allowed to sit by the fire till, like, the chores were done. And there happened to be, like, a big hole in the side of that tent that needed repaired and, like, sewed.
So I said, work, bitch.
She's yeah. like, I'm too tired. So everyone's getting all worked up. They're tired. And the guy named Nick picks a fight with the girl for not helping. She won't get up, and then Nick refuses to fix it himself. And so finally, another guy picks up a needle and starts to fix it, you know. Neither of them, whatever. So another guy starts fixing it, and the group is still not really in a good mood. And that girl, Luda, you find out, the one who's, you know, tired, she shuts herself in the tent and refuses to come out until after dinner.
Uh-huh.
And by the next morning, the tension kind of wore off, but the weather was worse. And the sky is clear, but still snowing, and the wind is so strong that they compared it to the jet blast of an airplane taking off.
Mm-hmm.
That's strong.
Yeah. So now they're only moving at about 1 mile an hour through the whole day. And by 4 p.m., they decided to settle down for the night. And that's when their journaling stopped. The next events can only be described through photos that were taken
by a
camera that they find. So February 1st, they are all in a good mood, laughing, joking around, and now they pack light for the last stretch up the mountain. So they build a temporary shelter for their storage, mostly like the food, extra pair of skis, and they set off. So the photos show more serious conditions than from earlier. They can tell it's progressing.
Yeah.
They said it looked almost apocalyptic.
It was like a hurricane.
Yes. So they're trenching through like a whiteout pretty much conditions. And their one final photo it's out of focus. You can see in black and white. All you can see is a streak of white light that seems to be moving down the left side of the frame against the black background. It could have been accidental. It could have been something that happened when they were developing it. Or it could have been maybe one of the hikers had a flashlight. But the camera, when they found it inside the tent, it was attached to a tripod. So they're assuming that the camera was still when the photo was taken. So the motion blur would have had to be, like I said, someone maybe holding a light or be a light moving or waving around a flashlight or a glowing object moving through the night sky.
Glowing at them.
Right.
So the picture was taken inside the tent.
No, they're saying when they found the camera, I don't know if they're just assuming that whenever pictures were taken, that obviously they were taken outside. Or it was because you'll learn later that Sasha actually gets up to take pictures of whatever he hears or sees or something, right?
So yeah.
The tripod is set up, and the last picture they see that's taken is this one. And they're like saying maybe it could have been accidental when they tried to develop it, or it could have been actually something moving out there. And if it was, they're more leaning towards it was something out there that was moving than the camera was moving, you know, vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so. Their camp was on, like, a northern slope of the mountain called Kalat Sikal. I don't know. It's hard to. It's CHOLATSYAKHL.
Okay. Just
Okay.
And it looks like they had planned to continue it up the ridge in the morning and reach their final destination by February 3rd. They're expected to come back into town February 12th. That day came and went, and they never showed up. But before they left, the leader, he told one of the townsmen or whoever else that they might spend an extra few days out there. So at first, it didn't seem weird that
they didn't come back.
And then when the days went by, a week went by, and no word. Now, 4 weeks later, this is the 21st, they eventually ended up sending a rescue team by the university sent out to find them. And they still assumed they would find them alive. Like, that they were just taking longer.
Yeah.
So, see, that kind of
the weather probably just maybe pushed them back. That's probably what they thought.
That's what I'm saying. How would they not know that weather if they thought they would still find them alive?
Well, they did just they not know that maybe that weather... they just took shelter, didn't want to trench too
That's
far.
That's why they took too long, yeah.
Or did they not, or that they just didn't see the weather that they were having?
True, yeah. But they never came back. So 4 weeks later, that's when they're like, okay.
We gotta go look for them.
Mm-hmm. When the campsite was finally found on February 26th, the tent was still in somewhat standing. All poles were still in place. The top had collapsed. There was just a few inches of snow on it. Mm-hmm. And they saw that the side of the tent was slashed open from the inside by a knife. Leading out the side was 8 to 9 sets of footprints, barefoot. Most of them, it said. Most of them were barefoot. But I kind of remember.
And the barefoot means no shoes or socks on.
When it was ripped. Yeah, that's the first thing I thought when I heard about it being slashed.
I thought about
the
it
inside.
Now,
what?
The tent being
the beginning
being
when
remember
when
they had to sew it?
Sew it. Yeah,
the guy sewed it.
Uh-huh.
So think about it. If it ripped open and it was
maybe
that
it just ripped.
Big of a force, it probably pushed it in to make it feel like it might have came
so
from the inside.
Yeah,
either jumping at conclusions or that really. Somebody did slice it open with a knife or whatever.
Yeah, because this was like in the 50s, wasn't it?
59.
Oh.
I believe. Let me see. Yeah,
1959.
Yeah.
Okay, so footprints.
So the footprint pattern indicated that they were walking calmly at a slower pace. And it looked like one person was carefully walking out on top of another prince already in the snow.
So they're
walking over them.
Yeah.
And about a mile downhill from the tent, the rescuers saw a cedar tree with the remains of a campfire underneath it. Next to the pit, they found the first two victims, Georgi and Yuri. They were barefoot, wearing only shirts and underwear. But after finding other victims had their clothes, they think that maybe them two died first and the others took their clothes for warmth.
Mm-hmm. And they just passed away of hypothermia.
Well, they also had burns on their legs, their feet, and I don't know if that could have just been from the fire, but they the skin on their hands were completely torn up. And they noticed that the lowest branches on the cedar tree that they're near, about 15 feet up, had been torn down, and it looks like they had tried to climb the tree and injured themselves in the process.
That's so crazy.
You'd think that they would mention that they that's confirmed with, like, maybe splinters in their fingers and
shit.
Something. Yeah.
They would have.
Yeah.
That is weird.
And they just seen all the scratches on that tree. So, hold on, I need a drink.
Did you dip it? You didn't dip it.
I can't dip it.
Why?
She licked it on.
COVID.
True that.
More bodies were found a little further up the hill. Under a thin layer of snow, they found the leader, Igor, and Lena, one of the two girls in the group. Zina? Anyway, the positions they were in looked like they tried to walk back to the tent, then died of hypothermia. After digging deeper in the snow, they found the third body of the man, a man named Rustam, and he died of hypothermia, but he also had a fractured skull and bruises on his knuckles, kind of like he had gotten to a fist fight. But like after later, like looking around and stuff, it didn't look like there was like a scuffle, like no foul play. And, you know, you can probably kind of tell. I don't know. They just said there was no signs of a fight, but it looked like he had gotten into one. Only five hikers have been found, and it took 3 months for the others to be found. And when they were found on May 4th, there was a ravine about 250 feet away from that cedar tree. They first found those two victims. And the other four they found later made a makeshift den below like a bank to protect them probably from the cold and wind. When they were finally found, they were under 13 feet of snow, and they did not just die of hypothermia. They died from massive injuries.
Yeah, that's crazy.
One of the four, Nick, he had a skull, his skull was cracked open. Alexander had a broken nose and injuries to his neck. Luda had broken ribs. She was missing her tongue and both eyes. Testing later revealed some of their clothes were contaminated with radioactive substances. They can't tell how much because of the melting snow and stuff.
Yeah.
Damaging most of it. But they said what they found was way over what to be thought of normal. Like way over the normal radiation exposure.
Yeah.
So Sasha, he's the guy who joined the team, remember? Before his group. He had five broken ribs. Both of his eyes were missing. And he was holding a notepad and a pen in another hand. No writings were wrote. And he had a camera around his neck. But the film was damaged by the snow. Only one frame can be seen. And in this frame, it's a big bright light. And three dark shapes at like the bottom that look like maybe the tops of people's heads.
Yeah.
That's all they can make out from it.
So maybe there was some kind of explosion.
I don't know. There's so many theories.
Yeah,
and that would describe like maybe burns and...
Yeah.
Right?
I was like, shit, what if the two that didn't have clothes on ended up going and murdering all those people and they got into a fight? And
but they found those last three or four months later, and they were under 13 feet of snow, but they had like massive injuries. The only one
said 13 feet of snow?
So Sasha was one of the two only wearing shoes, meaning that maybe he was like the first to maybe take like to notice whatever was going on. I don't know, be the first to take the picture of the light. Then something, maybe they're thinking, okay, maybe he woke up to try to take this picture, and so that's why he was the first one with shoes on. Try to take this picture. Something went wrong, causing the rest to rip through the tent and walk in an orderly fashion 1 mile downhill.
They were like sneaking away from something.
Yeah, about four.
Well, think about it. If he was leader and he had shoes on,
he wasn't the leader. Sasha was the drifter. Remember that?
Oh,
well, not drifter, but he said that he had another group that in the beginning.
And he had to go there on a certain date.
Like following the same footprints, maybe. The next person to think about it, if you had any shoes on, I don't want to step in somebody else's footprint so my foot wouldn't get full of that snow.
Yeah, but they're saying,
you know, I would
that okay, that there's signs of ripping the tent open with a knife. Why would they be ripping it open in a hurry when they're walking slowly out there in a orderly fashion, unless they're being
Or it could be like you said, like the explosion. Yeah. Rip, you know, just popped it open again.
And they just used that hole as an exit?
Yeah.
I think they used
And where did this radioactive shit come from? And
yeah, that's weird.
So, yes. So they're thinking, like, something went wrong. But four of them with their crazy injuries. Like you said, the radioactivity. Mm-hmm. And it looks like by the morning they were all dead. So they're assuming that whatever happened that night. This all happened
in one night.
Yeah, that's what they're assuming. To me, I feel like...
Over days. Maybe.
Because obviously the first two were...
They were in sections.
Missing their clothes because
they were... Yeah, and they were separated, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But if it was snowing that bad, you can easily get lost. There'd be no way you'd be able to find your way back to the tent, probably.
Yeah, so first you have to ask why they leave the tent. What made them leave the tent?
Yeah, who knows?
Right? Yeah. They're experienced climbers. Did something scare them?
Probably.
What did they murder?
What did they try to take a picture of? Yeah, did they get into a fight?
Did they get murdered?
Yeah.
So camp was close to a hut built by indigenous tribe, the Manzis. And the Manzi, they think maybe had attacked the group for trespassing on hunting grounds. But the tribe was known to be peaceful, and they helped with the search. They even found two of the bodies. And no other prints besides the groups were even noticeable. And not even animal tracks.
Mm-hmm. Aliens.
So something with the radioactive shit.
What's going on with that? Right. We'll get into that.
Uh-huh.
So two of the worst injured were Luda and Nick. And they had gotten into an argument two nights before from just like their journal reads. And one of the guys named Rustam had bruises on his knuckles, and Alex had a broken nose. So maybe a fight with Sasha, or maybe a fight between them two, not with Sasha. And Sasha, the stranger, I don't know what I meant to write here, but like, he was just strange from the beginning, you know, like.
Because he's the one that had those weird numbers on his body.
Yeah, right? And he had to go to this place on a certain day.
Yeah.
But hypothermia does cause confusion and panic, and they wouldn't be thinking clearly. So possibly they did this to each other. But they had like internal injuries. But they also had internal injuries that were too extreme to be caused by like another human being. Internal injuries that were consistent of like a car crash.
Yeah, like they're getting into a car accident.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're getting tossed around or something.
Hit really hard.
Spooky.
Was it a natural force? But what about the tongues and the eyes?
Yeah, that's so weird.
That's the worst part. And one of their theories was the avalanche.
Okay, sure.
Okay, avalanche. Okay. Sure. And the last four were under 13 feet of snow, like, you know, we're talking about. But it couldn't have been an avalanche because an avalanche wasn't reported in that area ever in the last 60 years. And it would have caused more. That's a long
time.
And if it was an avalanche, it would have caused more damage to the tent, and they wouldn't have been walking. They'd have been running now.
Yeah.
So the wind, they had strong winds of,
sorry, I must spill my truly.
So the strong winds that were passing and the snow falling, pushing them out of the tent, maybe trying to build a camp downhill because they knew it was getting bad. You know, they just abandoned that tent for some reason.
I don't know.
No?
No. I ain't abandoning my tent with the fucking hurricane.
It's a strange.
Snowy hurricane out there. No way.
Right.
Strange and unusual.
This is when other theories commence. Because just a few weeks after the last were found, the case was closed. And the deaths were said to be caused to be ruled by natural force. Meaning like avalanche
or something bad weather. Yeah.
All the files were classified, and a lot of people found it suspicious.
That's suspicious.
mainly because, how do you explain the tongue, the eyes, that weird light, the radiation? It's just looking a little fishy here.
We're playing with some mini glow sticks.
We're getting techno in here.
Yep.
So, they're thinking that the Soviet Union, their government, it was all a cover-up.
Oh, well, the Soviet Union government is... Don't they used to do, like, crazy experiments back in the day?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Listen, for real. So after Georgi, one of the victims, after his funeral, his family was holding a private gathering at their apartment, and they were visited by two hikers who had been camping on that same mountain range in February. Same time as them. They told his dad, Georgi's dad, that they seen a strange light over the mountain, and they thought it was a rocket. Over several weeks, more hikers came forward with similar accounts. Some kind of lights or orbs. They said there was some kind of lights or orbs in the sky.
Told you.
Could it have been lightning, though? You know, they were just tripping.
It could have been lightning in the sky.
Mm-hmm. Could have been.
Possibly. Or could possibly be aliens.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. It could possibly be that.
Investigator Lev was told by, like, his higher-ups, who called for Moscow to stop. Hold on, Danger just ate
screen. It's time we're up in here. We're eating Skittles.
Cut. Go back. So the investigator Lev was told by his higher-ups to pretty much stop, and that he was a danger to the state of security. An area around that mountain was full of military testing. And
explains the radioactive.
It's like secret missile tests. And rocket launches were happening nearby all through February and March. And on February 1st, two bomber planes were testing air mines and in a test field nearby. Air mines were dropped by parachute. And... They were meant to explode where they hit the ground, and causing like more damage by being caused by like the shock wave, not by just debris.
Mm-hmm.
And on February 1st, reports of strong winds maybe caused one of the parachutes to get off course and hit the and they're near their camp, maybe causing the big shock wave.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe causing their serious injuries, and maybe the radiation, the panic into darkness, you know.
Made him
but mad. Why was Sasha looking out around with a camera? Come to later find out, some people called him Alexander, but his real name was Stihoni.
Got it, girl.
Uh-huh.
So remember, Sasha, weird guy.
That's good.
He was out. Why was he looking out with that camera? Real name was Stihoni, and people also known him as Alexander. He served in World War II at the Red Army for 4 years, and then disappeared. They thought that maybe he was a KGB agent. He was very determined to go to this particular mountain on a certain day. Maybe a secret mission. Maybe meeting with foreign agents, like he was in the CIA, spying on Soviet officials. Maybe that's why he was out of the tent snooping with the camera, and somebody seen him. Did soldiers approach the camp? More likely by helicopter, scaring out everyone, following orders, marching downhill. And maybe Rustem fought with the soldiers, causing the bruises on his hands. Yet Yuri and Georgi tried to climb the tree to hide. Maybe Nick was thrown into the ravine, busting his skull and on a rock. Like I said, these are all just theories. And maybe the rest were just ignored, dying of hypothermia. Sasha was taking cover in the ravine with Luda and Alexander. Internal wounds, still, like, that were, couldn't have been humanly made. But the Soviets were trained in unique ways of torture. Like, chopping, what is it, I put shopping. Chopping. I put shopping next, but I think I meant to put chopping next.
He's all, go shopping.
Pressing down on their chest, causing, like, rib fractures and stuff. But Luda Maybe the tongue and eyes, you know. Maybe that was another form of their torture. And then maybe the Soviet found out that he was a KGB agent, and if word got out that they killed a KGB agent, that they'd be screwed. Maybe trying to smooth out their footprints, bury others, sort of like an avalanche. Like these are all other theories. Okay, so this is one of the theories that the Soviet army tried to cover it up because whatever.
Yeah,
but there is no evidence for that actually backed that up. They're thinking maybe the lights were alien spacecraft, unexplained burns on the trees. Yes. So unexplained burn marks on trees nearby, maybe suggesting that whatever was out there, whatever aircraft was out there was singeing these trees because it was too low. Campers were being attacked by a hyper-advanced heat ray, but there was no signs of burns.
You don't trust them, guys.
Mm-hmm. Could have been a Yeti, but there was no footprints. And Yetis aren't real, Lisa. Just kidding.
I believe they are not.
You believe Yetis aren't real?
Wait.
I don't.
Well, I don't know. There was this one crazy ass video that I seen on maybe Paranormal Caught on Camera. Are some weird show. Showed Sean. And
does Chris believe in the Yeti? Or just Sasquatch? Are they the same? They're different.
What, Sasquatch and Bigfoot are different?
Sasquatch and the Yeti.
Oh, the Yeti. Because the Yeti lives in the snow. That's why he's a Yeti.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe him.
So, now it's February 1st, 2019. 60 years later.
OMG.
The Russian government reopens the case. Reopens the investigation. More likely, probably, maybe wanting to shut down any conspiracies. Because now this case is, like, popping up more. Shit like this is getting more popular.
Poppin'. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. 2019.
Yep.
Somebody else was doing podcasts about these.
Yep.
It's getting looked at a little harder.
And they don't want the strange and unusual to get out.
They want to be like, look, you guys, we'll do your little investigation. We know you have all these theories, but we're only going to investigate 3 of your theories. And you know what the 3 are?
What?
An avalanche? A snow slab or a hurricane?
Oh my gosh.
And a hurricane. No
aliens? That's ridiculous.
A hurricane couldn't have happened. 500 miles away was the last, or 500 miles away was, like there, the camp was, sorry, excuse me, the camp was 500 miles away from the nearest, like, body of water. They're thinking that maybe it was an infrasound wind vortex.
Okay.
Causing sound waves with frequencies so low it can't be heard, but can make you have a headache and give you internal damage, and you can have nausea, causing maybe panic and hysteria. Because they're thinking the wind vortex, the way it went through the mountain.
The car accident, like, on internal injuries on him.
Which hasn't improved. No evidence is found that it can cause physical damage. A katabatic wind blows down slope with extremely violent force, hurricane fast force, you know? I think maybe it was wind, the katabatic wind. Weather had bad winds, and similar events happened in Sweden in 1978.
Sweden.
Where hikers were killed by katabatic wind.
Or was it the katabatic wind?
Or was it?
Because there's some strange... Oops, sorry.
You can't unexplain the eyes. The tongue.
And the tongue. But two of them had their eyes out, because didn't that one girl have her eyes and her tongue out, and then that other guy just had his eyes?
Yes.
That's weird.
Eyes and tongues.
That's like alien shit. That's why there's no footprints and they're like floating. Or if they were something
hurt so badly like that, I would think like some kind of weird big yeti that was just like
tossing you around.
Yeah, pulling out your tongue and eyes, because it's like you're like a little bug. You know?
No, for real.
It had to be like a giant. Like a. But he would eat you, wouldn't he? Like, what do they eat? Maybe they're vegetarian.
I don't think they eat.
Maybe that's why I picked that.
They don't eat? How do they live?
I don't
think
they eat, like, meat. I don't know, actually.
They're vegetarians. They're vegan.
Oh, no, they eat meat. See, that's why I tried the eyes and tongue.
Oh, it's probably the best thing on us.
I wish I had more detail, though, like, how the tongue... Because I think I remember reading somewhere that... The tongue was ripped. They didn't see it cut.
Ooh. You know? Yeah. Like, well, that's what I pictured it being, like, ripped out.
Eyes gouged out, not cut out.
Yeah. That's what I'm picturing, all of it being ripped out like that.
Or plucked out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's a strange world out there.
That's fucking weird.
It's always
so weird.
I'm like, did you guys hear that? Yeah. I'm scared.
I am scared. And if you know me, you know what that means.
Gosh.
It's fucking hilarious.
I'm laughing so hard.
That's a crazy story, right, guys?
That's so crazy. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I also... just recently learned, I was going to do a story on it, but there wasn't much on it, about the dancing plague. Have you ever heard that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, shit. I don't even know what year. It's back in the 40s, I think, still. Or something. 30s. I don't know. About the dancing plague. Maybe even earlier than that. Where a woman and her husband were having, like, an argument or something, and she just started dancing.
Okay. No, was
right.
That was doing the sea walk and shit, or what?
She's doing the crib walk, I guess. But yeah, back in the 1800s.
Hey, you know that couldn't be that long.
But she started dancing and couldn't like stop. And they're like, okay, she cuckoo now. Like she,
she's like,
yeah,
I got possessed. Happy feet. I can't stop.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So, anyways, she couldn't
That's
stop
actually
dancing.
Pretty funny to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's pretty strange. Like, what the fuck was that girl? Was she maybe so she was talking mentally about ill?
People started like, people started talking about it. And she was like, convincing, like, telling, no, I can't stop, like, whatever, for whatever reason.
She, like, peed on herself.
She was like,
other people started having like, these similar.
Oh my gosh, shut up, I think I have to
remember. And all of a sudden, it became like a thing, and everyone started dancing in the streets till, like, literally their feet were bleeding.
And dance until they die. Yeah, dance until you die.
Some people like did Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, no, I think I did see that somewhere.
Yes.
And I thought of that Hocus Pocus dance until you die. And that's what they did.
I should have had more. I should have actually did a story on it, but yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Dancing Plague.
The Dancing Plague. Go Google that.
Yeah.
That is so crazy.
Or people literally danced until they died.
That's fucking nuts.
Isn't that weird?
Dirty dancing.
Is it the fucking herd effect? You know, that whole... This
yes. Too
because...
Uh-huh. Just like that one that I said of that girl. You know? Where she was in that doctor's office.
So convinced themselves that they had it so bad that they, like, literally just didn't stop until they died.
I mean, if you tell yourself that, you're going to believe it. People tell themselves a bunch of motherfucking lies to themselves and they believe it.
Isn't there a saying like, dance yourself to death or something?
Damn, Lisa.
I know,
that
right?
That shit's gone.
Just the fucking door. Excuse me.
Wow.
It's delicious.
It was delicious. Yeah, that's crazy, huh? Mm-hmm. Somebody actually went along with that.
Yeah. And who knows with these hikers. It's super crazy.
I know.
So let's end it on a would you rather. Would you rather have an encounter with aliens or a Yeti?
Yeti. Definitely a Yeti.
Right?
I'm not trying to see an alien.
Maybe I don't want to see an alien because, maybe. Yeah. I don't want him to take me off this planet. You know?
Did you guys see that on, like, Daily Mail a couple weeks ago?
That's your child. Mm-hmm. That's your child. Here he comes.
The other one doesn't want the other one to live in the house.
Mm-hmm.
No, about that guy who won his 20-year case where he tried to get UFO documents finally, public knowledge, and he got them, and they're all they gave him information, but that's all like kind of hard to decipher because they use old methods of documentation, all that shit. But I think somewhere down the line, someone said what he did find out was he said, "Yep, there's for sure stuff like in there. There's for sure other beings in the water, or something like that."
I believe that for sure.
Aliens in the water.
Aliens in the water. Yeah.
There they are.
I would definitely want to have
an
encounter with a Yeti over aliens because that's a whole other fucking world.
Remember we had that? Would you rather go to space or the bottom of the ocean? Mm-hmm. And I said space. I do not want to go in the water. And that's...
Yeah, that's why you chose space.
Yes.
Because we
chose space.
Those were nice aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
that was delicious.
This shit's delicious.
Yeah,
so dang good.
So good.
Well,
it was delicious.
Do you have any other would you rathers?
I can look some up.
Yeah, or we could just end it there and then start a new episode somewhere.
Kool-Aid.
All right. Follow us Instagram, Facebook, Voices After Dark Podcast. Email us voicesafterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. And pay attention to your surroundings.
Peace out.